the deep end and losing my mind, and I can only come up with one answer, and maybe you can relate. And it's only been by the grace and the mercy of God Almighty that I'm able and I have been able to keep on keeping on. One of my favorite songs is, "Your grace and mercy has brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you." And I don't know what your issue is. I don't know what you're dealing with. But what I do know is that we as people tend to all be the same. Some of us are dealing with broken marriages. Yes, they look very healthy and vibrant on the outside. But I've been married long enough to know that, and I haven't been married that long. We're approaching 15 years. And sometimes you may argue all the way to church worship service. And you get in the building and you smile and you shake hands and you commence to arguing all the way home. Some of us may be dealing with the issue of being single. We want to be in a loving, intimate relationship. We want to actually have someone special to spend our lives with. And some of us, like that movie, are waiting to exhale. But I want to encourage you, don't hold your breath. Go ahead and exhale. Some of us are dealing with health issues. Maybe the death of a loved one. It wasn't that long ago that my mom actually passed away. And I think about her quite often. And I miss her. And I hate the fact that I can't pick up the phone and call her every day like I used to and just say, thank you, I love you. Some of us are dealing with the sickness of a loved one. Maybe we've been charged to care for someone who's sick or someone who's elderly. And it's taking its toll on us mentally, emotionally, and physically. Some of us are dealing with the issue of drug addiction. Yes, both legal and illegal. And when I get on your street, just wave your hand, because I know I'm talking to somebody this morning, because we dress up nice, we smell nice, we have nice jobs and nice cars, but we are human people that deal with issues each and every day. Some of us are dealing with the issues of alcoholism. Some of us are dealing with the issues of pornography. Some of us are dealing with the issues that are not even tangible, but of shattered dreams. Maybe we thought by now that our career would be in a much different place. Maybe we thought by now that our financial status and our social status at this point in time in our lives would be in a much different place. Some of us are dealing with the issue of not liking ourselves very much, and even worse, not loving ourselves all that much. What's your issue? Only you can answer that question. What I do know is that I'm glad that I have a Lord and Savior who came and died for my sins. And in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, "I came that they may have life and that they may have life more abundantly." That tells me, as a Christian, I ought to be living, and I'm supposed to be living, an abundant life. A life filled with peace, a life filled with joy, a life filled with happiness. And it shouldn't be faked. It shouldn't be forced. It just ought to be the way that it is as a Christian, because that's why Jesus came, so that I may have an abundant life. And so when I start to think about it, and I'm looking at how does this story of this woman relate to me? Well, personally, I think there's only one way to be totally satisfied, happy, blessed, and fulfilled, and that is by coming in touch with Jesus, like this woman did. Let's look at this particular story. First of all, the Bible says in verse 25, that a woman had an issue of blood. Okay, an issue of blood. I had to really dig deep and see what that was. There was something wrong with her monthly cycle. Her monthly menstrual period was out of order. She had problems with her internal reproductive organs, and there were that because of that, it caused a constant hemorrhaging. That's a bad issue, brothers and sisters. Men, I know we can't relate to that, but I know that some of us live with women that just for a short amount of time, every single month, may have to deal with this, and we can see what kind of toll it takes on them, and ultimately sometimes takes a toll on us. This woman dealt with this for 12 years nonstop. I want you to think about that. And the worst part about that, when I talk about this particular woman being lowly and lonely and miserable, if you think about the purification codes of the Old Testament, because of this woman's situation, everything that she touched became unclean. Which means if you picked up a cup that she had picked up, you became unclean. And since you look at me kind of funny, I'm going to prove it to you. Leviticus chapter 15. Let's look at it. Leviticus chapter 15. I want to make sure that you recognize that Brother Hall is not making this up. Leviticus chapter 15. Look at verse number 19. And if a woman hath an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until evening. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until even. And whosoever toucheth anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening. And if it be on her bed or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth this, he shall be unclean until evening. Now I want you to really think about that for 1 minute. Anything that she touched became unclean. Anything that she sat upon before became unclean. What that simply means is that this woman could not even attend public worship. She had become a social outcast. It said that she would be separated for 7 days during this issue of blood or this cycle of time. But hers carried on for 12 years. And they were warned under the Old Testament law not to be in contact with this woman. So that meant if she hugged her children would become unclean. If she hugged her husband would become unclean. Remember when we was little kids? Y'all probably don't play these games when you young. When we was little, remember we used to play the boogeyman, or if you were the boogeyman, you didn't want to be touched. Everybody ran from the one that had the cooties. Some of y'all remember the cooties. This woman was actually, in my opinion, going through some very emotional and spiritual and physical and psychological problems because of her condition, a condition that she didn't ask for, a condition that just for whatever reason she was dealt that hand. And what that tells me, oftentimes when we have been dealt certain cards by God, you know, we don't have the right to go feeling sorry for ourselves. There's plenty of examples in the Bible of people who actually had to suffer, Job being the biggest and most known story. And a lot of the things that we have suffered from, a lot of our issues, if we really be honest with ourselves, have caused us to become, in some cases, dysfunctional. Some of us have been mistreated growing up. Some of us have been lied to, lied on, lied about. Some of us grew up in households where maybe our father was mean and cruel and cold, and he didn't know how to express love. He didn't know how to express affection. And I know what I'm saying is right. Some of us grew up and we were told that you'll never amount to nothing. You're dumb. You're stupid. You'll be just like so-and-so. You'll be just like your father. And because of that, many times we've been hurt, and so we grow up with a tendency to hurt others. I often heard it say that hurt people hurt people. Some of us have been abused. Some of us have been scared. And some of us have been turned into cold, bitter, sour individuals. And it comes across as we try to deal with our friends and our families and our coworkers. I know, again, that we come to church and we sing and we pray and we smile, but we have become the type of people that we are because of issues that have plagued our lives. And I believe, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to unpack some of this luggage. It's time to stop carrying around these same issues year after year after year. Anything that you carry around long enough becomes heavy. Would you agree? Everybody here, do me a favor quick. Hold up your Bible. Just hold up your Bible in there. iPod, iPad, phone, whatever you use. Stop playing Pokemon. Just hold it up. Keep it up. Now, that Bible's pretty light, but I guarantee you, if I ask you to hold that Bible up, go ahead and put it down, for the rest of the service, your arm will start to grow weak. That small little Bible will become quite heavy in your hand. And a lot of us are being burdened down and weighed down because we're carrying around extra baggage that we simply ought to put down and let go. So when you think about it, in verse 25, it shows her disease. But let's look at verse number 26. It says, and she had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better, but actually rather grew worse. So we see first the picture of her disease, and then the author transitions into this woman's determination. Now you really, to understand and appreciate her determination, have to know what she had gone through to try to rid herself from this horrible condition. The Bible says that she had spent all that she had, and that she had not only not gotten better, but she had actually gotten worse. What does that tell me? Well, it tells Brother Hall that money can't always fix our issues. A lot of folks, especially in our society, we think if we just have enough money, if our bank account just gets big enough, that we won't have to worry about anything. And Brian did an awesome job this morning in Sunday school talking about the fact that we don't have the luxury, or we shouldn't even be thinking about getting caught up as Christians, putting so much emphasis into money, because we can mess around and miss the big picture, the real true riches of heaven. And so she has spent all her money, and the Bible says she got no better. As a matter of fact, the Jewish Talmud gives 11 remedies for her condition, including several things that are absolutely worthless and totally superstitious. Has she subscribed to some of these remedies? But give you an example. One was that she needed to carry around the ashes of an ostrich egg in a linen bag in the summer and a cotton bag in the winter. Another one was to find a piece of barley corn in the manure of a white female donkey. Imagine that. These are the things that the Jewish Talmud recommended, just some of them, to fix her condition, and none of it worked. I'm going somewhere with this. None of it worked. Many of us have tried several remedies to dull the pain. We've tried drugs. We've tried alcohol. We've tried psychotherapy. We've tried palm readers and astrology and looking to the stars for the answers. And we still are struggling. Some have decided to completely withdraw from society. Maybe not in this room, but I know it happens. I read, I study, I look at people's lives, and some people just go home and close the curtains and ball up in a fetal position and just hate the fact that they got to get up in the next day and face it all over again. That's just the life that we live in. But if you're here this morning, I'm telling you that God, based on our determination, he's already taken care of our issues. The question is, are we tapping into what it actually takes for us to change our issues, for us to outgrow our issues, for us to be delivered from our issues? I want you to just think that you've done all you can and you've given all you have to fix the problem. You consulted with friends. You consulted with coworkers. You consulted with counselors. You've consulted maybe with the elders and the deacons, but the issue is still pressing on. You still are feeling the effects. You still feel lonely. You still feel tired. You still feel like no one can understand. The people around you that you're talking to about these issues, they don't seem to understand. The bank account's dry. Their insurance won't cover it. But you still have to deal with these issues. But here's where it gets good. And this is interesting to me, because what we find is that the Bible says that she heard of Jesus. She heard of Jesus. Some of us have heard of Jesus, and that's why we're here. But sometimes we forget that we heard of Jesus. Sometimes what we fall short as Christians is, once we have obeyed the gospel, now we lack determination to continue to live out the instructions that Jesus has given us. I don't know about you, but I felt a great burden. I felt a great lift off of my shoulders when I came up out of the watery grave of baptism. So for me, it was a great deliverance once I came in touch with Jesus. And like the woman in the story, I had dealt with issues, some of them, for a very long time. It wasn't until I got to the point in my own mind and I was determined that enough is enough. Enough is enough. And I've spent enough time crying myself to sleep. I spent enough time blaming other people for my problems. If you didn't have the best family situation growing up, if your parents weren't loving and nurturing, and maybe your father was a rolling stone, I get it. I understand that you wish you can go back and change the hands of time, but you can't. None of us can. So God has offered us something to help fill those voids, and his name is Jesus. I mean, think about it. 12 years of constant, agonizing, continuous suffering with the same issue. Some of us haven't suffered 12 months and we're still crying. Or 12 days. I mean, 12 issues, that's a long time. 12 years, rather. 12 years is 144 months. It's 624 weeks. 12 years is 4,380 days. 12 years is 105,120 hours. 12 years is 6,307,200 minutes that she suffered with the same issue constantly without relief. But she had enough determination. She had made up in her mind because she heard of a man named Jesus. And I stopped by this morning to let you know that if you're struggling with something, if you're dealing with something, if you're up against some what may appear to be insurmountable trials in your life, try Jesus. Be determined like this woman, because what we will notice is her determination led to her deliverance. Her determination is what actually led to her deliverance. The Bible says in verse 27, and when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, I want you to picture this. Can I have my volunteers come up real quick and help me? I want you to picture this. Don't get scared now. Come on, volunteers. Give me the first row and a half. Come on up here. I want to show this so we can really see this. Come here. It won't take long. Somebody told me to keep it short. I'm going to keep it short. Come, some of y'all come and stand in front of me. Picture this. I want you to see this. Don't be scared. Some of y'all come and stand in front of me. You want to be popular at school and be in the crowd and social. Some of y'all come stand on my left. Come over here, Avery. Come over here. Come right there. Stand right there. Come right here, big guy. Come right here. Come right here. Rest of y'all, come on. Just crowd around me. Crowd around me. For the sake of this story, I'm Jesus. And this is the crowd. Are y'all following me? And the Bible says that the crowd thronged him. So I want you to picture Jesus traveling to Jairus' house, trying to get there to heal his daughter. But the Bible says the crowd pressed up against him. So on all sides, Jesus could feel people touching him. Are y'all with me? How could you not? He can barely move. It's like being at a crowded basketball game, a football game, or sporting event. But the Bible says that this particular woman said in herself that if I would only touch his clothes, I will be made whole. If I can only touch the hem of his garment, this horrific, tedious, long-lasting condition that I've suffered will be gone forever. She had enough determination to crawl through the crowd because she touched the bottom of his robe and touch him. And the Bible says, and straightway, a fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from her plague. So after spending all their money, after trying all of the superstitious, ridiculous remedies that the Jewish Talmud prescribed, she heard of a man named Jesus. And she said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. And the Bible tells us that that's exactly what she did. And Jesus said to her, immediately knowing himself that virtue, power, energy had left him, he turned about and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples, in an almost sarcastic way, thought to themselves, Lord, don't you see all these people around you? Don't you see this great multitude around you? What do you mean, who touched you? There's a ton of people touching you. You're being touched on every side, Lord. But Jesus knew that this wasn't an ordinary touch. And I got news for you. When you make up in your mind that you really, really want to be healed by whatever's plaguing you in your life, physical, mental, spiritual, psychological, financial, and you decide to get in touch with Jesus, your issue will dry up. Your issue will dry up, even if it's not immediately. I'm here as a living testimony that Jesus has the power to transform and change your life, as he has mine and so many others. Go ahead. Thank you, guys. It wasn't an ordinary touch. Coming to worship service and singing and praying, you know, being crowd mongers and coming into the assembly, that's good. But some of us truly understand what it means to leave here and stay in communion contact with Jesus. And that's when you begin to see the transformation in your life take place. When it goes beyond just being a ritualistic Sunday morning activity to actually having enough faith and belief in him that he has the power, he has the virtue. And what I took from the story is it doesn't matter how many people are reaching out, touching Jesus. He can still identify my touch if I'm touching him in faith. Woo! I don't know if y'all caught that. Millions, if not billions of people may be reaching out to Jesus right now, but we serve a God that knows everything. We serve a master in the Lord Jesus who was there at the beginning of creation. He's never left. He's always been there. He has the ability to hear each and every one of our supplications individually and act upon it. When you call Jesus, he's not going to send you the voicemail. Amen. He's not going to save the message and say, oh, I'll get back to him and then forget to call you back. The Bible says that this was no ordinary touch. And that's what I think sometimes we're missing. We have to move beyond. First individually, then collectively, a group of people, a body of believers that's just in the crowd. Because if we touch Jesus and he feels it, he's going to touch and change our lives, and then he'll use us to go out and touch other folks. The Bible is laden with examples of people who was touched by Jesus and they changed. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40-43, Jesus healed a leper. Jesus touched the leper and the leper was cleansed. He changed. In Mark 4, 34, 35-41, Jesus healed the little boy with the unclean spirit. So he touched the little boy and the little boy changed. In Mark 9, 14-29, he touched and said, the little boy, and said, if thou believest that all things are possible, it's possible to him that believeth. So it starts with our belief. And in Luke chapter 17, 11-19, he touched 10 folks plagued with leprosy. Don't be like the 9 that was ungrateful. Be like the 1 that came back and said, thank you. I have to teach my boys that going to worship is an opportunity to come in a corporate worship setting collectively with the other Christians and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You didn't have to bless me and wake me up this morning. You didn't have to give me a roof over my head. You didn't have to give me shoes on my feet. You didn't have to give me clothes on my back, food on my table. So thank you, Lord. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28-30, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are of heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jesus says, I will give you rest. Not the church. We are the church, the people that meet here, who obey the gospel. We make up the church. But Jesus said, come unto me. Not the elders, but you should go to the elders if you need counsel, if you need guidance through his word, if you need someone. Not Oprah, not Dr. Phil, not to therapy. He said, come unto me and I will give you rest. That's powerful. We have a straight line access to the great physician. So whatever your issue is, I invite you, leave it here. If you really, really want to go home rejoicing, if you want to spend the rest of the day rejoicing, if you want to get up tomorrow morning, which will be Monday, it's no longer Sunday, but you want to get up with a song in your heart, rejoicing, leave your burdens and your issues here today. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, if you're not a Christian, that's the best decision you can make. The truth of the matter is, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Jesus lived, he died, he was crucified, he was buried, and God raised him up the third day so that we might have access to eternal life. That's called the gospel. You've just heard the story of the greatest sacrifice ever made. If you believe that, you're a candidate to be saved. You got to hear it, believe it according to Mark 16, 15 and 16. Repent of your sins. Matthew 10, 32, Romans 10, 9 and 10. You have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you have to be baptized for the remission or removal of your sins. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, Acts 2, 38, Acts 22, 16, and live a faithful life unto death. That's the best decision you can ever make. And I promise you, issues will just start to fall off. You know why? Because like Colossians chapter 3, you'll start to set your affections on things that's above, not on things on this earth. A lot of the issues we're dealing with them as a result of what has happened to us on this side of life. And it's weighing us down. Man, this beard wasn't always gray like this. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I remember exactly when it started getting gray. Like, I've had some issues in my short life. But I thank God Almighty that whenever I've turned them over to him to deal with, I've been able to just go on freely, singing with a joyful heart, knowing that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. If you are a Christian and you know you've been struggling with some issues, that you just, there's no reason you should be struggling with them. There's no reason you should still be carrying around those issues after all this time. You're a Christian. Let it go. The Bible says our suffering is no way could be compared to what the disciples and the Christians before us had to suffer. But the joy as well will be great in heaven. Whatever it is, leave it here. You can't change it. I've been taught there's two things I should never worry about. Things I can change and things I can't change. So I just make it my way of living. If you're here this morning and your desire is to become a Christian, now's the time. The water's ready. Jesus is ready. God is ready and waiting on you. Are you ready? Come give me your hand and give God your heart and be born again today, because today is the acceptable day. If you stand a guilty distance from God, come on down. The elders will talk to you, and we'll help you get everything right through prayer. All right? As together we stand and sing the song of invitation.